Before the episode begins, we'd like to tell you about Impulse, meeting health pioneers. Impulse is the podcast where you will discover the latest advances in the medical field through conversations with the brightest minds changing how care is delivered. From the rehabilitation of paraplegics having lost the ability to walk, to revolutionary contraception methods for men, the podcast covers current and future wonders of medicine that are or will be transforming healthcare. Your host, Mathieu Chaffard, eagerly awaits you, so don't hesitate and go listen to fascinating episodes about medical advancements. You are listening to Science for Care. I am Anka Petre, and this show unveils the stories behind some of the most important scientific and medical breakthroughs of our time. How a global crisis changed the way we test drugs. Back in 2019, if you asked someone what a clinical trial is, they would have looked at you as if you were speaking a foreign language. Fast forward to the post-COVID-19 era, and most people not only know what a clinical trial is, but it can also tell you how it works. Individuals, whether healthy or sick, volunteer to test a new drug in a controlled environment and for a certain period of time. Before COVID, most clinical trials were conducted in hospitals with strictly planned follow-up visits over a period of time that could stretch to several years. During COVID, however, this entire model had to be rethought, a true headache. In the spring of 2020, nearly all non-COVID activity in hospitals had to be stopped, slowed, or postponed. That included clinical trials. In January 2021, 2,000 of them were put on hold because of the pandemic. Those who were allowed to pursue were significantly slowed down by travel restrictions, hospital policy, or the need for protocol changes and approvals. Concerns about the safety of clinical trials participants were real. So, how do you solve the following equation? Due to a global pandemic, you cannot continue to run your clinical trial in the traditional setting. Yet, you can't send all the participants home with no follow-up either. What do you do? This is where tech comes in. First observation, the site-based approach, where study participants need to go to a hospital in person for each follow-up, is time-consuming, expensive, and uncomfortable. Second observation, most patients are simply unaware that a clinical trial they could participate in is taking place. That makes recruiting very challenging. Third observation, clinical trials are incredibly expensive and long. So, what's the solution? Decentralization. Yup, you heard that right. It is time to decentralize clinical trials. It is time to take clinical trials out of the hospital and into patients' homes. Virtual clinical trials are becoming a reality. What's interesting is that the technology to do so has been around for years. But it took a global crisis for the industry to finally open the miracle toolbox. It included telemedicine to replace in-person follow-ups, wearables to replace measures taken during visits, or remote patient monitoring platforms to keep in touch with the medical team. Some trials succeeded in enrolling participants 20 times faster by using a simple web portal. Others reduced by 66% the time spent organizing and coordinating the study. Tech brought a breath of fresh air to an industry asphyxiated by the weight of the pandemic. Let's take a look at an example of a tech-based solution that is changing the way clinical trials are performed. Cellbox. Catherine Adelkofer, the founder of the company, gives us an overview of her innovation.
Cellbox actually is a German company based in Hamburg, northern Germany. And our focus is on the logistic of cells. You know, cells are used for drug discovery, but they're also used for cell and gene therapy. And cells which are very sensitive, such as pluripotent stem cells or adult stem cells, even organoids, so cell clumps, they cannot be frozen down like normal cells. They have to be somehow shipped alive. And CellBox is an incubator which is able to ship cells alive without freezing around the world, over the campus, but also via airplane. So very innovative. Nobody in the world can do that so far.
When decentralizing a clinical trial, one does not just send patients home with virtual appointments. Hospitals need to find a way to deliver the treatments to a health facility close to where the patient lives. When talking about pills, that is not very complicated. But once we enter the world of biological treatments or cell therapies, real challenges appear. This is where CellBox comes in.
Currently, cell and gene therapy are made in, university hospitals. And of course, as you know, to get enough patients for the trials and also, to travel the patients is very difficult. And these cells, which I was just mentioning, cells which cannot be frozen, they can only be applied in clinicals, or in university hospitals so far. CellBox makes it possible that, the cells can be shipped to other hospitals, which, doesn't have these kind of facilities. And thereby, we can bring the therapy and during the studies to patients which are normally cannot access to these trials. And this is something which we really believe that it helps for decentralization of these very innovative trials. In the moment, what we are, working on is retinal cell patches transplantation, like when you use your site. These cells, these patches cannot be frozen. And in the moment, we are testing the transport of these patches first over the campus within a university hospital, but we will in the future can include patients which are not located even in the same village or in the same city. They can be transported throughout, for example, in this case, it will be all over the US.
The problem CellBox addresses has been around for years. Medical logistics is a tricky field with many challenges caused by the sensitive nature of the products. Catherine was familiar with this context when she created the company.
I'm a cell biologist by training, so now you know, because I really had to suffer a lot, that my cells were very sensitive, and I was trained in Switzerland, and I did my postdoc in the US at the Salk Institute, and I always looked at these kind of research in cell and gene therapy, that this is really tricky, not only because of the therapy itself, but also of the logistic. And when I found CellBox here in Germany, was a prototype from Fraunhofer, I immediately saw this is the future. It is a game changer in transporting, these very precious cells, which can't be frozen anymore. And we can connect the whole world via the CellBox. I think it was December 2017 where I created a company, and we are now 19 people, and we are expanding into, all different kind of markets, such as the US market or the Asian market. And we hope to be involved in as many clinical trials as possible to help to, cut down costs and to help to reach patients which are in very need. In the moment, I think our major goal is reaching or helping to be involved in clinical trials. Of course, we are currently working on a box, on a CellBox, which is a medical device, and it fulfills all regulatory needs for clinical trials. And we really want to be part of this a growing market of cell and gene therapy.
In today's episode, we focused on the way the COVID-19 pandemic forced the healthcare industry to rethink the way clinical trials were conducted. But don't be fooled. The disruption wasn't limited to clinical trials. As you have probably seen for yourself, the pandemic forced the entire health system to find new ways of delivering care. How do you keep providing access to healthcare when hospitals are inaccessible, when people are under lockdown, when the economy is on hold and patients cannot afford their treatments? Today, half of the world's population doesn't receive the care that it deserves, because they can afford it, because they can access it, or because they are unaware it exists.
I think when you look at clinical trials, you know, of course you look at pharma industry who wants to be successful and going through a clinical trial. But when you look from the patient perspective, in the moment there are so many trials out there and there are so many patients in need. And to bring them together, we need to work on this decentralization, because in the moment, most of the, you know, very innovative drug discovery or clinical trials in cell and gene therapy is done in university hospitals. So we need technology which helps actually to overcome that, so that we can bring the new innovative therapies to the patient. You know, and they cannot all come to university hospitals. So telematic medicine, logistics, the way we communicate, the way we find the patients, I think is very important. And SaveOx can be and should be one big part of it. But there are other technologies which we badly need to overcome this problem.
Increasing access to clinical trials by taking a decentralized, tech-based approach can provide life-saving solutions to millions of patients. Increasing digital literacy by educating individuals can help patients better monitor their health and prevent diseases. Spreading the use of digital solutions can change the lives of the 50% that don't receive the care they deserve. Our phones, our computers, and our wearables have become our primary source of data and insights about our health. They have also become one of the most efficient ways of providing health services to millions across the globe in just a couple of seconds. Is tech the ultimate solution to increase access to healthcare and reach universal health coverage? Hard to say. But one thing is sure. With more people owning a phone than owning a toothbrush, tech seems to be a safe bet. Science for Care is a podcast by Health Tech for Care, a nonprofit organization designed to support and promote access to care for all. If you enjoy our show, please mention it to your friends, family, and co-workers, and leave ratings and reviews on your favorite listening platform.